Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Ross Coulthart, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and joining me on today's show is a Brazilian author, researcher and journalist. He was also part of the recent hearings over in Brazil. I've got Tiago Tiquechi. Tiago, good to finally have you on. We've been chatting, haven't we, now for some time in the background, and the time seems to be right because there's been some big hearings recently in Brazil. You, of course, were a part of just after the hearings in the United States. You've got a new book out, and the South American element of this phenomenon is very interesting. It's very unique. The Brazilian element of this topic is incredibly unique with some huge cases, and that's what your new book's about as well, UFO Attacks in Brazil, the true story of the most terrifying events in the history of ufology. Lots to get through, but Tiago, let's talk about you, first of all, and a little bit about you, your background, and kind of what brought you into ufology.
Hello, Andy. Hello, everybody. Well, I would say this was, I was born with ufology in my blood. Because when I was a kid, when I start to read, I read comic books, like superheroes comic books, and also UFOs and mysteries magazines. So we had plenty of UFO magazines and mysteries magazines here in Brazil. We don't have it so far. And I start to read it, and I always was curious about the thing. And when I was 8 years old, I saw a UFO. I live in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil, and I saw a red UFO in the sky. And my father was a Brazilian Air Force pilot. So from my birth to my 8 years old, I lived in a Brazilian Air Force bases. So even when I was 8 years old, I knew what was a helicopter, I knew what was a airplane, balloon, satellites, but we are talking about something that happened in 1982. I mean, more than 40 years ago. So there's no satellites like Starlink, there's no drones, nothing like that. And I knew what was in the sky. And what I saw was something that I cannot explain even today. It was something spectacular. And well, I start to read, and I think this just fired up something in my heart that, well, I need to know what was that. And then I start to read it even more. And when I moved to Brasilia, when I was 19 years old, I started to research, and I didn't stop.
And your father has that military background. Did he have any encounters himself, any interesting anecdotes on the UFO topic? Was it something he paid attention to?
He didn't have any side, but he loved the subject as well. My father-in-law, he saw a UFO where he was flying AT Chavante airplane. He saw a UFO that coming in front of him and passing through him three times, a ball of light. And he was a pilot, a military pilot. So my father liked the subject. He gave me the first book, UFO and the Extraterrestrial Civilization by Guy Tarrant. And it was my first book about UFO. And my father, at the end of his career and life, because he died because of disease, he worked at A2. A2 is a secret service of Brazilian Air Force. And he was divorced of my mom. So my brother and I, every Friday, we spend the weekend with him. So we go to his work. And then I start to ask him if he had some files in that A2. And he always said, no, there's nothing here. But Dad, it's a secret service, you know. You must have something here. Mm. And he said, no, we don't have. Until one day, I always saying that, asking for the same thing. And he picked up off the phone. And he asked, I don't know, a soldier or something, so someone. And please bring the two brown boxes of UFO files that we have. So they brought me two boxes, and I started to watch all the papers in that boxes. It was like reports, like a typing machine. There's no computer in 1992. So it was like a typing machine. And I saw many files, but one caught my attention. It has a beautiful UFO photo, like the old photo that they had to print it. And it was a perfect. It was like the pilot was in a cockpit of airplane, and he turned to his left, and he took a photo of a disc-shaped UFO, bright silver, in a daylight. There's no window, no wings, no engines, nothing in that UFO. It was like 400 meters from the airplane. And you can see the window of the airplane with the needles around it. And, I asked Dad, can I have this photo? He said, of course not. You have only 10 minutes to read the files and see the files. Dad, there's no cell phone, guys. No cell phones, no cameras. Can I have the copy of that? He said, no, and you have 8 minutes. So, well, I start to copy the smallest reports. I start to copy by hand. And I got, I think it's 16 reports that I never saw. I never see it, publish it by the Brazilian military. We have here in Brazil, like in USA, they have the FOIA, and here in Brazil we have the LAE, something but and they send the documents to National Archives here in Brazil. Those reports that I copy by hand, they're not there. So where is this report? So I started to investigate when I came to Brazil, and it was amazing.
And you mentioned those reports not being in the archives when they should be. And that's probably far more common than people would think, that these things just either go missing or don't get included as they should. Was there anything spectacular you remember from being in those reports, or were they, you know, pilot sighting, radar sighting, stuff like that?
Yeah, in one or two reports, there was a near collision between the UFOs and airplane. In other reports, one of the UFO just followed the airplane for 2-3 hours, making jokes like in the front and the back, jumping from side to the other. And, besides that photo, it was amazing, you know. I didn't read the report of the photo, I just saw the photo, because this is amazing, it was amazing. And those reports was mostly like pilots reporting something to the tower or the control, and they were very scared, it's not an airplane, something else. So those reports, I never saw it before. I never saw it after I read it and copied. I never saw it in Brazilian archives.
I always like to know from your perspective, what was the UFO topic? How was it viewed growing up in Brazil through the 80s, through the 90s? Is it stigmatized with the public? I always have a perception that folks in South America are particularly far more open to the UFO topic, far more open to discussing the idea of aliens, NHI, UFOs. Is that correct, or is that a little bit skewed?
It is correct, Andy. It is correct. But we are more open-minded, of course. But we have bigger problem here in South America than study UFO phenomena. I mean, like officially studying. We had some initiatives in Chile and Peru and Argentina and in Uruguay that they create a group by militaries and civilian ufologists to research the UFO phenomena. But anyway, they don't have budget for that. It's more like, let's research 1, 2, 3, 4 cases. It's nothing like the size of the budget that the United States uses to investigate, even in secrecy. But here in South America, if you ask someone if they believe that there's a life in a universe, they said yes. But if you ask if this extraterrestrial life comes to Earth, so it's like a 50-50. People believe that we have another intelligence life in the universe, but not coming to our planet.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
let's talk about the book, and then we'll get to the hearings. UFO attacks in Brazil, the true story of the most terrifying events in the history of ufology. And some folks might think that's quite a sensational heading, but for anyone I think who knows about events even such as Calares, they are pretty scary because they go above and beyond the average UFO sighting or even UFO experience, where people are injured, they are hurt, there are medical records, there's a lot of things happen, there are reports of deaths in different cases here as well. I'm sure we'll get to it, but Crab Island incident 1977, you know, someone dies as part of that event. So what is it about Brazil's history with the subject that there seems to be a rather aggressive element to what's going on?
Yeah, the title is not spectacular by the word. It happened. It happened here in Brazil. In 1977, people were being attacked by aerial phenomena or spaceships or lights. And we have officially one people died because those attacks. And what I brought to this book, it's almost 400 pages of testimonies, of documents, of reports, a chronology of what happened, and newspapers prints by back that time, and also the protagonist, the main character of this mission, like the Captain Wiranger, who was the leader of the Perez Operation Plate, that studied and investigated this phenomenon in Brazil. So what happened? And I mean, when I wrote the most terrifying events in the history of ufology, it's because we don't have nothing like this. We don't have of course we have some cases that people were attacked by a beam of light or attacked by aliens, like Venezuela, like Travis Walton and something like that, an abduction, it's okay. But in like this concept, during 3 months, from September to November, December, 3-4 months, people were attacked by spaceships. And in some cases, the victims saw the, not human, let's see, short beams inside the UFO. So what was that? And what does propose? We don't know it. We don't know it. But it was so terrifying that the mayors of the cities in the Pará state and Maranhão state, they asked to the Brazilian Air Force Ministry to send a team to investigate. Because something in the sky was attacking people. And the cities became ghost cities because people are running to the hills. They're running from the far from the city because it doesn't matter if you are inside or outside of your house. Because we have reports where the UFO stood above the house and shot a laser beam. And that laser beam just came through the ceiling without breaking it and hit the people in bed. So what was that? What technology is that? 4 years ago, more than 4 years ago, like almost 15 years ago, that we don't have today. So it is something spectacular, terrifying, and was an attack.
Let's, for folks unfamiliar with the event in Calares, you mentioned it happened not over one afternoon, one evening or one night. It was a series of months these events went on for. Do you want to give us like a brief, you know, how it happened, when it started, and just kind of walk us through the kind of the escalation of the events?
Yeah, well, it started in Maranhão state, where fishermen go to fish in a dawn. And they were starting to watch ball of lights coming out of the river and getting into the river. Well, the Amazon rivers are huge, like ocean. You can Google it and ask to Rio Madeira, Madeira River, and Black River in Amazon. They're like ocean. You cannot see the other side of the shore. It's huge, huge. And they're so afraid that they are not going to fish anymore. And fishing was the way they live and eat. They fished they fish in the fish and sell and also eat the fish. And they were so afraid that they cannot do it. And the mayor of the cities start to get worried about this. Because not only now that spaceships, that ball flights are coming in and coming out from the rivers, but they're also going to the land and start to attack people. And this start to go to another state, in Pará state, in Colares, in Mosquito Island, and Barcarena, and Belém, the capital of Pará, people in a village. Because let me make a point here. The north of Brazil is big. Just the north of Brazil, the region north of Brazil, the Amazon part of Brazil, is bigger than many countries in Europe. And is a forest. And we have some cities there that you, if you want to go from one city to the a closer city, you have to take 3 or 4 hours by ferry boat or by a canal or a boat, something like that. It's far, very far. So they in 77, they don't have this technology of communication, of electricity. So that's back. And the people start to report to be attacked in these cities. And they were so afraid. The fisherman, the man of the village, of the cities, was sending a woman and children to out of the city. Or, if not possible, every night from 6 p.m., everybody shut the doors and the windows. And the woman and the kids and the elderly people went to the church to pray. Well, they were desperate, so they went to the church to pray. And the man went stayed at the beach of the river, the rivers, with fireworks and shotguns, and they put some fireplaces to try to avoid and back away these lights. So this was started to be so huge, many people reporting to being attacked by this light, and many people live in the town, that the mayors and the congressmen of the cities, the deputies of the cities, start to call to Brazilian Air Force Ministry. What's...
I just... One second, Tiago, because it's a fascinating story, right? And I want to get this question in now. What did the locals at this point, just before they start to bring the military into this, what did they think they were dealing with? You've mentioned lights or spaceships, and I appreciate you're trying to say, you know, we don't know what they were, but it was something. What were the locals thinking they were dealing with?
Well, at the first time, there was a devil. They were devil, or the folklore, because I have here in Brazil a lot of folklore. One of the folklore is them. Mãe d'água is water, mother. What's a water mother is? It's a ball of light that came out of the river and pursued people and attacked people. So, whoa, wait. We are talking about 1977, but we have this folklore. So this thing happened before, many, many years before, because it became a folklore. So the people thought that, well, it's a ghost, it's a folklore, it's a devil. No one, or at least 99% of people that live in that area in 1977, they didn't know what was UFOs or extraterrestrials. They never heard about it. They had no TV. They only listened to radios. Radios, the old radios, guys. We are in 2025. We're talking about something that happened in 1977, the past century. So we don't have this technology. They use it to listen radios.
And the local politicians then have to get in touch with the Brazilian Air Force, did you say?
Yes.
And that's when things escalate to the Air Force.
Yes. And this case start to grow, and they get in touch with the Brazilian Ministry of their Brazilian Air Force Ministry.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
So the minister sent in the beginning they send a small crew, like there's a sergeant and two or three soldiers, just to, well, let's see what's going on. And they start to make reports, and they start to take photos, and they start to see the UFOs in the sky, and they report back to the base, and they said, well, something has happened here. Something really has happened here. It's not hysteria. It's not a joke. It's not helicopter. It's not an airplane. Something weird has happened here. Then they sent Captain William Giolanda. He was skeptical, very, very. And he asked to the Sergeant Flavio. He asked him. When Captain Holanda arrived, he asked Sergeant Flavio, do you believe what you see? And the sergeant said, yeah, I do, because I saw it. Do you, Captain? I'll only believe it if I see with my own eyes. Well, in one night, he saw a huge, huge UFO, more than 100 meters length. And Flavio asked him, now, Captain, do you believe it? The captain said, yeah, now I do. So the military was very involved with this. They research, they make more than 300 reports with drawings, with photos and videos. What I bring in my book, many never seen before photos of this investigation of this mission, Operação Prato, plate operation. So the people, when people read this book, they're going to see the size, the magnitude of what happened in 3-4 months here in Brazil in 1977.
And you mentioned there are strong rumors there is footage that exists that was filmed. And again, you've made the context very well. We're going back to 1977 here, but they managed to film some of these objects or lights, whatever they may have been. But that's not footage that has ever been released, is that right?
Yeah, you're correct. Captain Virgilio, when he told about this, well, the first one to know about this was the whole case, the whole events were published by newspapers in Amazon, in Pará State, Amazon State, in Maranhão State. Okay, there's no censorship. Okay, we are living in a military dictator here in Brazil back that time, but there's no censorship in the newspaper. Military trying to get these photos from the newspapers. Some they got it, but many journalists some keep it, these photos. Well, and they film it more than 22 hours of the UFOs. Captain Hollande told it to Gevaer and Marc-Antoine Petit in 1977, 20 years after the plate operation. So since then, we are asking to the military and to the Brazilian government, where are these movies? Where are the film? I was in 2024, I was with George Knapp here in Pará to film one of the episodes of the series Investigation Alien that's in Netflix. And I was talking with George, and he said to me, Thiago, the films are in United States. And I told him, I know that, but with who? And he said, well, I probably know who has these films. So we are trying to get this information, because if you send them the films, should be a protocol, a document, because it's an official material from Brazilian Air Force. You cannot just give it away. You have to make it properly, like a protocol, like a document. And we are looking for it, because if you have this documentation, we can first confirm that the film exists. And second, we can ask back, because it's a Brazilian property. It's a Brazilian domain. It's a Brazilian document. If you will send to the United States, to France, to UK, I don't care. If you are the Brazilian documents, we want to back.
And very similar to the Virginia case.
Yes.
Where James Fox, the documentary maker, yeah, for some time now, has been desperately trying to get his hands on the alleged video of the being operated on from Virginia. But it's very difficult, because the video footage, especially when you're going back decades, it's not like footage now where people would question the authenticity. Is it CGI? I think even layman's like myself in 5 minutes can make a reasonable looking video of an alien. So it's very difficult to kind of fake the stuff going back decades. So there perhaps would be a better level of authenticity to those. Do you think it's likely to ever get that type of footage released for public consumption?
Oh, Andy, I'm very optimistic, but it's hard because we're talking about the Colares and we talk about Virginia. The Colares, if we confirm that the video is not in Brazil, it's a crime, okay? It's a crime. And who did this? Committed a crime. If this film is here in Brazil, it's a crime also, because we have the right to know. There's a law for that, and we're asking for this. If they destroy the film, it's also a crime, because they're destroying an official material paid by the contributors. And if they lost, it's a crime as well, because they had they have the obligation to keep it. So there's no way to run. They must to confirm one of these four possibilities. And just a little about Virginia. If this video exists, and I do believe it exists, where is it? We are also here in Brazil. We had a hearing in the deputy chambers here in Brazil last week. We had this hearing here where we asked for this. And if they have this information, like Operação Prato, official night of UFOs in 1986, and also Virginia, we want to know. The citizen, the Brazilian people needs to know, has we have the right to know. So I do believe that we can get it, but it's not an easy fight. It's a battle every day. We are using us, of course, always the law to get access to it. You're not trying to bribe anyone. We are not going to steal it. We're using the law to get these films, or at least know what happened to these films.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
That must be difficult because you're trying to do it fairly, and you say you're trying to do it within the confines of the law, but you're probably going against whether it's the Brazilian government, the United States government, the UK government. When it comes to UFOs, they seem to operate on levels above the law, and the folks who are involved in keeping these secrets, the gatekeepers, the shadowy cabals, whatever you want to call them, don't have that same regard for the law, because as we often hear, people have been killed, people have been murdered for this topic, for the secrecy. And even looking at Calares as an event, I watched you some months ago on Weaponized with George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell, and you talked a lot about the event there. And you know, things like you mentioned the laser beam coming through the home, and people say it sucked blood and iron from the blood from people's bodies. It's very specific. It's not as like they were getting hit with something and there's a cut or a burn. It was literally taking nutrients and chemicals from their body. One elderly gentleman said he could see the blood leaking from him, like it was something in the light was drawing the blood out. I just watched, I don't know if you've ever seen a TV show called Gen V. It's a spin-off of The Boys. It's on Amazon Prime. And one of the superheroes One of the superheroes has powers where she can control her blood and all that kind of stuff. And it just reminded me of that, where you can see the blood coming from them. And that's incredible. And that kind of level of testimony is really frightening. Medical records from Calares disappeared. Officially, I believe, is it right with Calares, there was one death reported, but unofficially likely more?
Yeah, we do believe that, because as I said, we have the north of Brazil, several cities far away from each other. So people didn't get the chance to go to the hospital because it was too far. And we believe that some people died without getting medical attention. And officially, just one person died. The doctor, Velaige, she was the doctor of the area. She was the only one in Colares. And she attended hundreds of people that were being attacked. And she by herself, she saw a UFO in the middle of the day over her head in a center of the city of Colares during the day, at noon, a huge UFO over her head. That's how people saw back in. More than 200,000 people saw this phenomenon in 3-4 months. And we calculate that 2,000 people were attacked by this UFOs or something. We don't know what it is. And one people officially died, according to Dr. Velaige. But as I said, people, a city far from each other, without a medical attendant. And also, when you told about the suck the iron from the blood, the people got anemia. So many people probably died with a diagnosis of anemia. But what was the cause? They don't know. Oh, a light in the sky. No, it was a mosquito. It's a yellow fever. It was a yellow fever.
Yeah.
So probably many, many people died because of the attacks.
And why did it stop? So we've got this event, you've got thousands of people attacked over the course of months, you've got a military involvement, a military presence, a big military presence. It goes on for several months. How does it end and why do you think it ends?
No clue. No clue at all. We don't know. We don't know. The intense period was from September to November, December of 1977. And they started to decrease. And after that, in 1978, from March to May, some cases still happen. And the Brazilian Force sent a small team to investigate, but they didn't add nothing new to what happened in 77. So we don't have a clue. Well, we can wonder, well, they came here, they did what they had to do and left. Or someone said that it was a project called Mirage Man, a Mirage Man.
Mm.
Well, it's a social experiment. Okay, a social experiment with more than 200,000 people. A social experiment where the lights and the spaceships coming out and get in the rivers and attack people and suck iron, blood. And many people saw it. And the UFOs, Andy, was of different shapes. It's like a ball of light, a rectangular, a cylinder, a disc shape, a star-like. So what kind of social experiment could do this? When a technology that comes in the air and in the water at the same way, we don't have this technology today. So in my opinion, something happened. Is the extraterrestrial hypothesis is the best one? Probably, in my opinion. But I cannot confirm you that was made by aliens or something like that. But I think, after studying this for more than 20 years, going there, investigating there, read books, talk to people that was there, testimonies, victims, I'm pretty sure that it was not a human social experiment.
Wonder, you've done a lot of research on this, as have others in Brazil, and it's been some time, almost 50 years. In a couple of years, it'll be 50 years. Do you believe the Calares story is largely consigned to history, or do you see it being something we get more and more information from as this kind of disclosure journey goes along?
We can have more information. If you go to Calares and walk in the street, as I did, and start to talk with the elderly people that lived that events in 1977, everyone tells you the same thing, the same type of attack, but they always tell you a different information. That information that the man, Mr. Francisco, he saw a UFO hit a lady in front of him, suck the blood, and the rays just like a line linking blood. He saw it. We didn't have this kind of report in any other publication or documentation. It was the first time that I heard about this. So if you go there and start to ask people, they're gonna tell you the truth. And the militaries that worked in that mission, the most part of them is dead already. So you cannot get more information. But we're still looking for the films. If we have the films, it's going to be a great, massive evidence that what happened there. And we could study this movie. Is the best evidence ever of what happened in Calares.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the Podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the Podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, it's a fascinating case. It's terrifying. I think it would make a great movie. if for nothing else, and to get the kind of information out to folks, because it's a real mix of, for example, the movie Signs has a very famous piece of footage in it from Brazil. Obviously, it's part of the movie, but people always remember the alien walking past the birthday party in Brazil.
Yeah, but the people speaking in Spanish in Brazil speak Portuguese.
Yeah, well, you know, that's unfortunately, do you know what? I think even folks like myself would never have recognized that. But I imagine anyone who is bilingual or local like yourself would have been like, that's not quite right. Perhaps, Tiago, it was a Spanish family who were overliving in Brazil at the time.
Probably.
So, yeah, it could have been. They could have really been looking into the detail, but yeah. I doubt it. Do you want to touch on some other notable cases from Brazil that other folks may or may not have heard of?
Oh, yeah. We have in Brazil, we have all kinds of UFO types of phenomena. We just don't have the cattle mutilation. That's only UFO phenomena aspect that we don't have here in Brazil so far. We didn't have the crop circles, but in 2008, we started to have crop circles here in Brazil. But here in Brazil, we had this, the official night of UFOs. It happened in 1986, where more than 21 UFOs were detected by radars and by people in the ground and by civilian pilots and military pilots that chased them. We dispatched 5 jet fighters, 2 Mirages and 3 F-5 to chase these UFOs. And it was like a dog and cat fighting, because when the jet fighter get closer to UFO, they just speed away. This, in some cases, the speed of the UFOs was 15 Mach. It's like 15 times the speed of the sound. 50 times the speed of the sound. I think that the speedest airplane that we have is like 7, something like that. And we are talking about something that happened in 1986. And this started May 19 to 20, and the day after it, all the pilots went to the press conference, and they confirmed it. Well, what we saw was something out of this world. It was not an airplane. Some of the pilots, while chasing one of the UFOs, looked to the right, looked to his right, and it was 6 UFOs in his right. And looked to the left, 7 UFOs in his left, all inside Brazil. So it was an invasion. They fight us? No. And the Brazilian military, they has a very specific order. Do not shoot him. Do not shoot him, because we don't know what's going to happen. So it's a very... do not shoot these UFOs.
Are these also the UFOs that they were coming out of the water again, yeah?
We have a report that some of them coming from the ocean.
Yep.
We didn't see that coming from the water, but they came from the ocean in a shore of São Paulo state. So they came from the ocean and get to the land of São Paulo.
And you talked about the size. I was going to say, Tiago, the size of the Amazon, the water around Brazil, a lot of rivers in Brazil. Do you think it's very likely that these objects are using, even if they're not coming from the water originally, they're using the waterways to perhaps navigate?
Yeah, it's a hypothesis that we cannot deny. We cannot rule out. Because they have, and we saw this in these videos, that Pentagon cannot explain the leaked, some of video leaked by the debunkers, the people that spoke in a hearing in the United States.
Yeah.
They said this UFOs came from the water and go to the sky, and from the sky to the water. So I think they can use these two types, the water and the air, to get in and get out of the our planet. If they have some UFO bases under the sea, I cannot confirm or deny it, because our planet is the most part of the planet is water. It's water. So, and everything about our planet. So for me, it's a possibility.
We recently had the hearings in the United States a couple of weeks ago now. However, 1 week after those, a hearing took place in Brazil on the 16th of September. Do you want to talk about what happened at that hearing? You were part of it. What was the mission? What's the goal? And what came of it?
Yeah, it was a historic moment for the Brazilian ufology. For the first time, the chamber received ufologists in an official commission to talk about ufology, but not only ufology, as many say. We talked about ufology, we talked about national security, because we have UFOs coming in and coming out from the Brazilian skies. And we talked about the right to know, the right of the citizen of Brazil to know what's going on. Yeah, we have the right to get access to these documents. Of course, if some documents is like a national security matter, okay, there's a secrecy. But even so, we must know what's going on. And we went there and we talked about it. My part of presentation was to show what's going on in the United States, what's going on in England, in Japan, in France, and some other countries that they are exposing and they are researching and they are doing hearing to talk and to discuss this matter of this subject. And here in Brazil, we tried to do the same. We brought evidence that what happened in Virginia was true. Something happened there. We're not talking there was extraterrestrial. We cannot confirm this, but something happened. Something that the army, the Brazilian army, cannot explain or tell the truth. And also, we went there to ask the films of the operation plate, and also the final report of this official Knights of UFOs in 1986. Because we know that the Brazilian Air Force, they wrote an official report about what happened with more information. And they promised that this report would be published. Never did. So we are looking for the main goal for us was we were heard here. We were heard by the chamber. We got space in the media. Okay, the media talking about this, you know, in the whole world about this hearing. And we had the opportunity to get access to more congressmen. We are speaking with another congressman to make a bigger hearing. Now, not only ufologists. Our plan, our idea is to invite militaries to explain themselves, explain the view. We are planning to invite former or retired military that had some kind of experience. We are planning to ask journalists that cover UFO phenomena. So it's going to be something huge, just like in the United States.
I really hope you get that, Tiago, because I think that's the difference. That what you're doing in Brazil is still very public. It's ufologists, it's passionate folks, it's researchers, and they're trying to get attention on the topic, like you say, to call on more people to get involved. And that must be difficult. Like you say, there's a lot of different political pressures across the world right now, a lot of different issues that people have that perhaps UFOs aren't at the tip of their tongue. But I really do wish you the success in that, because I think if Brazil can help take some of the slack off what the US and folks are trying to do there, get military officials in, get politicians in, get them talking about this, I think that brings more people on board. If we'll finish off, Tiago, and just let folks know, how can they follow you and how can they also get a hold of your work?
Great. You can follow me at Instagram. Just Thiago Chicchetti. It's Thiago. And the surname, T-I. And it's going to write
I'll put the links. Yes, it's in the description. Yeah, folks can click. Yeah.
And also Revista UFO. Also, the link's going to be there. You can reach me and see what we're doing here in Brazil. It's a very important. Brazilian ufology, it is one of the best ufology in the world. We have one of the best cases in the world. We had Gervais, he was one of the best ufologists in the whole time. So we always have news and information. If you are outside of Brazil, you don't have much information about what happened here in Brazil, because we don't have many publications in English or in Spanish. Or in fact, you can Google it and translate it. It's okay. But you don't have much more information in books. And this is my third book in English. All my books talk about the Brazilian ufology. Many, many information. So if you want to go, if you want to know more, just reach me out in these links that Andy's going to put below in the video.
Absolutely. Another one of those books was UFO Contacts in Brazil. It's wonderfully detailed and illustrated around the history of the subject. And of course, your latest, Tiago, we've mentioned UFO Attacks in Brazil, the true story of the most terrifying events in the history of ufology. Tiago, wonderful to have you back on. We'll have to get you back for a bit of a deep dive into some of those other events as well in the future. But thank you so much for your time and good luck with the book.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody. Hope you like the book.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show out on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.